down. Saying, will you ride with me? When we say yes, no.
Well, greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight around the world, WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel. Got you in here tonight on live broadcast on the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you aboard. We're going into part three of the function of angels. You don't want to miss tonight. We've got a great program. We believe you'll be informed about the soon coming, the arrival of those who are from heaven fail. Ladies and gentlemen, it's inevitable that they got to return. They've been here. They were removed. And they're coming back. It's that simple. And then we're going into the account of how they're going to be once and for all the power of the enemy. Satan, his angels, the fallen ones, how they're going to be put down. I'll be right back after we ride with him a while. Let's practice a little bit to ride with him. Let's mount up.
We'll ride with you. And we say yes, Lord.
Oh, man. Praise Yahweh. Crown on his head. Well, we got a report from Michigan. We're sounding great tonight on fiber optic just installed here at WWRB. They finally got it out the station way. They've obliged and put it in to enhance the sound. So our internet sound should be sounding great tonight. It's been confirmed up around central Michigan, if you will, that we're sounding great. Thank you, Randy, for that little shout-out up in the great state of Michigan. Well, Yahweh, ladies and gentlemen, he's coming after a people. You know, one of the great mysteries that people just don't seem to, they just don't get it. Angels who visit this earth are persons or objects, messengers, if you will. You say, well, they can't be persons. Oh, yeah. They've been here. They've ate and drank. They have gone into jails and released prisoners. They ain't nothing they can't do. Both good and bad. It seems like that they have unlimited powers, or at least they have powers that are way above the average of what we would describe tonight as messengers or angels in part 3 of our series on the functioning of angels. I want you to take notes tonight. In the early days of the mortal world, many righteous persons were taken from the earth or translated, as I mentioned, the three last night principles. And the Bible said no one has went into heaven that didn't first come out of heaven. Now, that's amazing. If you can just grasp that, that is an amazing statement confirmed by the Bible. And the divine angels that came down here with a mission on assignment for the functioning of the angelic host to work. Even Yahweh himself was described as an angel. He was described as a man. If you go to the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis, you've got three angels. The Bible said, the Bible don't describe them to start with as angels. It said three men came walking towards Abraham's home. And he was sitting out under the oaks in the breeze of the evening. And it was on Passover night. It was dawning. And so then, here is three men. Abraham entreats them. He didn't know that one of them was Yahweh. The other was Gabriel, and the other one was Michael. Now, these other two angels were assigned a mission to go on over to Sodom after that they had eaten with Abraham. That had to be on the night of the 13th. That's when, oh man, I really felt the anointing on this one. That's when Abraham washed their feet. They showed up on the evening of the 13th, which is right before the dawning of the 14th day, where the angels ate unleavened bread with Lot on the next day, proving to you that they were in Passover. Isn't that incredible? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. These angels on assignment, Yahweh is so, it's just almost too good to be true. It is. If we can put these things together and unroll the great mystery and the metaphors and the examples of the law as it teaches us to come near to Him, to recognize, and the Bible said, some have entertained angels unaware. Now, did Abraham know later that it was Yahweh? Of course he did. Going to the account in the book of Genesis, we find that Yahweh, who takes Abraham aside and counsels him, gives him covenant instructions. These covenant instructions given on the 13th where he washed his feet. I believe that the Messiah was so overcome, Yahweh, in a flesh body, an angelic body in this case, before he assumed his flesh body, but it was a flesh body because he ate and drank with Abraham. And he had his feet washed. He had to be a tangible, in this case, a mortal being, a flesh and blood being. And yet he had the power to transform and go back into the heavens. These angels have this incredible power. Now I'm going to give you five ways, indications, to distinguish between the function of good angels and the function of bad angels. Now, I want to reveal something to you that I've already told you about in part one, but I didn't elaborate, and I promised you I would, so I'm coming back here to tell you that Satan can assume a flesh and body form himself. Now, think about this. He can actually appear as a good angel. Now, how could he do that? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 says, we are warned now, listen to this now, even Satan, who can disguise himself as an angel of light. And in the New Testament, we need to discern between the good angels and the bad angels, and that's called the gift of discernment. And I'm telling you, they're tricky. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10 describes the gift of discernment. Listen to this now. Number one, how to determine if it's a good angel or a bad angel that's visiting you or impressing you or imploring you to follow certain spiritual guidelines. The favorite way for Satan and his angels to tempt us is, number one, to doubt Yahweh's word. I'm going to repeat this now. The number one favorite way of Satan and his angels is to persuade us to disregard the word. Now, the Bible said for us to lay aside every weight and sin and stick with the word. It is written. Yahweh battles Satan personally, face to face. Satan would use scriptures on him. It was like a great debate. Yahweh would come back with the word. He was required to stand the test, and he stood it by standing firm in the faith of the written word. Now, I know he spoke it. You speak the written word into the air, and it becomes a spoken word. In you, faith ventured toward standing firm. Now, if you're wavery, and you're wishy-washy, and you're unsure, that's why the Bible instructs you to pray and to seek His face and to search the Scriptures daily to see if these things that we're talking about is so. Now, the serpent tempted Eve not to listen to Yahweh, but to go against what Yahweh said. The basic way to discern between good and evil angels is if it's from Yahweh, it will always agree with the written word. That's why I said search the Scriptures. For wherein you think you have eternal life, you don't have any. So number one rule is to always stay with the Word. Now, I know the Word is confusing. That's why it pays you to search. If you have to go to searching when something comes up and you don't know which way to turn, you're of all men most miserable. You could be persuaded. if you hear false doctrine and you haven't searched in the Bible enough to know it's false, then it could sway you or persuade you. But if you're prayed up, read up, and fed up with the ways of the devil, you're going to rebuke him, and the Bible said he's going to flee from you. Now, notice, Yahweh is always going to test you. He's going to try you as gold tried in the fire. Now, that means that he may himself send you a strong delusion to believe that lie and perhaps be damned. It's a test. Now, number two, always remember this. Keep a heart of forgiveness. Do not let your heart become bitter, puffed up, proud. The more you know, the more humbler you should get. Just like I was telling you about, oftentimes we don't think about eating, it's just a routine. Most of the time we just sit down and never look up and thank Yahweh for it. But I'm telling you this from experience. When you go 40 days without any solid food, and then you decide to break your fast on 40 days, you can go longer. But when you break your fast and you break your bread and you thank Yahweh, I'm telling you, you will have a heart of humility. You'll know where it comes from. You'll know why it was designed. You'll know how much to appreciate it when your body finally, finally gets the nourishment of the flesh man that it has to have to maintain its balance or its harmonic cycle. It's like the heart, the palpitations, and the beating. If you don't get food in there, you're going to have a racy heart. When I fasted 30 or 40 days into my fast, my heart would race. What it's doing is having to work hard because it's got no strength to secure oxygen. And so it races to speed up the metabolism as it breaks down the fats in your body, solids, to and even works on your muscle. I can actually feel it eating my muscles in my body. The heart is a major muscle, and therefore it will affect your heart. So have a strong heart of forgiveness and love and compassion. Now, if you can't find your way in the Bible, seek out someone that knows. Do not be too proud to ask, what does this mean? Like the old eunuch that was riding in a chariot. Philip was in the desert region and he joined himself to the eunuch and he said, do you understand what you read? And the eunuch said, how can I? Some man show me or tell me. Find you a Bible man. Someone that is prayed, fasted, and seek the Father and earned his position of discernment and fulfillment through the Word. That he can be a stabilizer, or if you will, an anchor to your faith. I love to sit around. I have visited many men, and most of them older, had preached many years, 40 or 50 years. And although I didn't agree with them, I could learn some things that I could identify with in their ministry because sometimes you cross the same paths of examples or problems that you encounter, and wisdom is a good teacher. So don't be ashamed to ask for directions. Don't be ashamed to inquire. Some people are so proud, they think if they ask for directions or instructions, that the opposing will see them as weak or misguided or misunderstood or whatever. Always be humble and forgiving. That's number two. Now listen to this one now. Number three. A genuine encounter with a good angel will always glorify Yahweh. Not the angel. He will take no. That's what I'm telling you. Even in your flesh body, you're humilified. You need to be humble. That's rule number two. It applies to rule number three. When you're approached with an angel or a spirit being, a high Elohim, or a teacher, or an instructor, he will always glorify Yahweh, not himself. When you get high on yourself, when you get full of yourself, you ain't full of Yahweh. When you're full of Yahweh, you're not full of yourself. Just like I said, you've got to empty yourself of everything to have nothing, to have Yahweh. Yahweh chose the foolish things. Now, no man wants to seem foolish. It's an humbling experience. I've had to encounter it. When you go among these denominational systems and you're put on the spot, they're looking, they're searching for something that they can identify with or against you. And when they can't find nothing but foolishness in you, you give them foolish answers from a biblical standpoint. And yet it's so far beyond them, they don't understand. And therefore, they will cast your name out as evil. They will hate you for his name's sake. They will despise you. They will separate themselves from you. And so you got to get used to being lonely. I'm going to repeat this. A man of Yahweh that is entertaining angels or communicating with angels, that is strengthened through angelic encounters, you'll always be despised and hated and rejected. You say, well, what's the purpose of an angel if he's going to be rejected? Yahweh said himself, he said, well, we've told you about this. We piped to you, but you wouldn't dance. You wouldn't listen. You wouldn't understand. Why? It's because they have ears to hear and can't hear. They have eyes to see and can't see. And that's what it's all about here tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is putting on what we describe as the whole armor of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Let's put on the whole armor. Let's raise up to meet him when he comes. Let's ride. Praise Yahweh. Let's get it on. Let's mount up with the wings of an eagle. Let's take it to the devil. Let's rebuke the devil. Let's stand on solid ground with our feet entrenched in the gospel. Let's wait on Yahweh and we'll know, praise Yahweh, we'll know that we have passed from death unto life. Man, listen to this one now. Angels will never concede or give in to your selfish wishes to the detriment of others. Now, I'll repeat this. Yahweh's angels will never grant you your selfish desires. You want to get rid of an angel? You want him to flee from your presence? When he recognizes you're not humble, that your heart is not ready to receive, they can tell. And if you're not ready, they may, if you're fortunate, if you're not prepared, they may, as Manoah, he wanted to see this angel that had witnessed to his wife. She seen him, and she told her husband, Manoah, she told him great things. And he said, I got to see it for myself. And I was really, when I read this account, I was sort of amazed that this angel would return. But it was for his and her justification in the mouth of these two witnesses of Samson's mother and dad, the deliverance. It was very important. The whole deliverance of Israel depended upon Samson. Now, you know, at the end, when he was deceived, you can go on a mission. It can be divinely inspired. Samson seemed like, to me, that he had to be a wise man because of all of his riddles and things, and he confused the Philistines. And yet, they played with his mind, and he would take his physical body and try to deal with it. The Bible says that a poor man's wisdom delivered the city. In this case, the strong man's stupidity brought death upon his shoulders. Don't try to be a hero. Don't try to do more than you're assigned to do. Now, why did Samson give in to Delilah and her affections? Because he was in love with her. You can fall in love with the wrong person. You can have relationship with the wrong person. You can get caught up in the flesh man and let it overrule your spirit being. I've said this many times before. Maybe I shouldn't even say this, because sometimes it upsets people. But I'm going to say it anyway, because it's the truth. If the truth was known in relationships where man and woman is together, if the truth would invade their heart and open their eyes, there'd be more bags packed and more separations and divorces tonight than you could register in the next week. Why? The Bible says itself, do not be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. I'm going to repeat that. You're going to have trouble in the flesh if you've got a believer. Think about the misery that you're going to bring upon yourself if you're yoked together with an unbeliever, or somebody that's fighting you and opposing you on every hand, don't want you to serve Yahweh, don't want you to give no time to Yahweh, jealous, envious, prideful, despiteful. See, that's a messenger of Satan. Yahweh's angels do not participate in selfish desires or wishes that would cause harm to someone else or forbid them and their duty to serve Yahweh with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, number 5, prayer. Pray without ceasing. Everything that you encounter, when you come to a crossroads, pray. When you come to where you can't decide for yourself, pray. When you come to where you don't have faith in your decision, pray. You know what the disciples said when Yahweh told them that they had to forgive 70 times 7 a day? That's 490 times every day they had to forgive. And they said, Yahweh, increase our faith. See, faith is the establishment to enhance your faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You got to get to a crossroads. And the only way sometimes is through prayer and through the Holy Spirit that will lead us and guide us into all the truth. And the Bible says, try the spirits. Try them. Now, that's not just one spirit. Now, Satan is a transfigured angel. And his subjects, those who have failed with him, they're just as equal, as almost as crafty as he is. Now, he's crafty. He taught them rebellion. He'll teach that to you. If you will rebel. If you get mad at your brother, oh, they don't like me. If you're always talking about your brothers and putting them down to your other brothers, it's going to pretty soon catch up with you. If you've got a spirit of bitterness, a root of bitterness in you, you'd be better off at a bar drinking Jack Daniels, chasing it with Pepsi Cola, as my brother Pard would say. Don't give me no Coke, just give me a Pepsi. Give me a Jack and a Pepsi and sit back. If you ain't got something good to say about your brother and sister, like Brother Odell said, don't fill my ears with garbage. I'm not interested in hearing it. You see, people want your attention so that you can fuss and fight and argue and berate and belittle and contend with people instead. Nothing's ever right for you. Make things right. You've only got so much space to take up in the world. There's only one of you. Use your time wisely. Don't be a negative, resentful, hurtful, gossiping like a silly woman with a dress on, going around squawking. Of course, I know a lot of women. It's more men than a lot of men I know. And for that, I'm thankful that Yahweh's women are women. I mean, Boy, you take a strong woman, there's nothing any mightier than a good strong woman. You take a woman that's hell-bent on destroying you, and she can cause you more trouble than you can get out of in a long time. Just ask Samson. He never got out of the trouble that Delilah got him in. He had to literally destroy himself to beat the enemy. He brought the house down on his own head. He suffered with the unjust. It rained down stones, marble, polished boulders right on top of his head. Of course, it was his plan of revenge. They put his eyes out. What good was he? He didn't want to live. Sometimes you can get in such a condition you don't want to live because you've disobeyed the voice of the angels. And I'm telling you, sometimes those angels could be your neighbor up the street, could be your brother across the state, your sister north of you, or south of you, or west of you, or east of you. Notice, obey them that have rule over you. Who is that? Who is the ones that have rule over you? First of all, you do it in divine order. If you're under headship, your head is Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. If you're obeying Him, then you're going to see that the things that He desired you to do, you're going to suggest those in a very humble way for your brother or sister to do. Never ask somebody to do something that you wouldn't do yourself. You know, some people say, do it my way or I'll show you the highway. If you don't do it Yahweh's way, you ain't on the highway. You're on the Broadway, at least. Do angels have free will? And the answer is yes. They didn't have to rebel. They didn't have to turn against Yahweh. But Satan convinced them that the problem was that Yahweh was wanting to have all the fun. That he was leaving them out. That they were just as good as he was. That he had to have them to assist him. So, if someone needs assistance, they must be at a point a little bit weaker than what he says he is. Now, when he says he had all power in heaven and earth, he didn't have that power until he defeated the angels. I'm telling you, it's the truth. He had to beat, if you will. It was just like an arm wrestling contest. He had to wrestle every angel in heaven that rebelled against him and said, I'm stronger than you are. And when Satan stepped up to the table to tempt him and to break him, he said, I beheld you as lightning fell from heaven. You're a piece of cake. I've been waiting on you, boy. Did you know what the Bible says? That in the day that we go out and see this little scrawny looking thing, that we're going to be surprised? We're going to say, is this the guy that brought down kingdoms? Is this the guy that caused all this trouble? Is this him? We're going to literally be amazed that we were afraid of him. When the Bible said, resist him and flee from him, oh yeah, he's going to, you know, the biggest problem I've ever had in my life is not myself wrestling with the devil. I was strong enough to wrestle him and to contend with him. But the problem is he'll work in the closest thing to you. And that'll be your brothers and your sisters, your wife, your children, things that really get to you, and Satan will work through them because he might not be able to handle you, but he'll go off and handle someone that can handle you because you love them, or because you're concerned, or because you get caught up in the flesh. Just like Samson was, do never, never think yourself stronger and mightier than you ought to. Don't think yourself more highly than you ought to, is what I'm trying to say. Do not get a sense of pride. Confirm your wholeness. If somebody does you wrong, bear with it. Show that you're stronger than they are. Oh, but buddy, we gotta get even. The angels that rebelled against Yahweh and continue to sin. But the other angels, those who did not sin, but kept the faith, and did not marry, and did not procreate. Therefore, the question is, can angels have babies? Can they produce something called the Nephilim? In Genesis 6, we find that the sons of Yahweh, the angels, the morning stars that sang together, with him, when man was created, the angels shouted for joy. It was something. I said, look at that guy. He got up out of that mud ball, and he's walking around. And it's amazing what that guy knows. We're talking about Adam. From the get-go, he had something in him greater than he that was in the world. That's Satan. And Satan tried Adam. And let me tell you something. Everybody bum raps Adam. The Bible said Adam wasn't deceived. Now, take and smoke it. Adam was not deceived. He made a conscious decision to stay here with his fallen wife. He fell for her sake, that they might together inherit. Because we got to inherit together. I can't go without you, and you can't go without me. And Yahweh has not lost one, and He's not going to end this thing. The Bible said Yahweh is long-suffering. That we should not perish, but have everlasting life. He's long-suffering. He lets this thing carry on and on until the appointed day, till we all come to the knowledge. Whew. Hallelujah. My, what power. What purpose. What direction that the mighty ones who have been given charge over us, the great responsibility that Yahweh has assigned guardian angels to encamp about us. Oh my, I feel the Holy Shekinah. Oh yeah, our old flesh bodies are in pain. We ache, arthritis, rheumatism, teeth are bad, hair falls out, we creak when we walk and crack. We're of all men most miserable. If only we're here to live in a flesh body, it ages and deteriorates. But the inward... Oh my, hallelujah. The Bible said the inward man is renewed day by day. How can we lose if we've got the faith to endure in these flesh bodies and resist Satan? And don't fall for his devices. Paul said, we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, that comes through experience. But I've been caught in Satan's trap so many times, it ain't even funny. And I said to myself, how? When you try to wiggle and get out, it's just like you're caught in a... like you're out trapping animals with steel traps. Some are brave enough to chew their legs off to get out of the trap. And they'll walk away without a leg. Samson was so disappointed in himself because he failed his divine appointment by the angels that gave a decree and purposed him to restore Israel. He was so disappointed that he had lost himself in Satan's trap by a beautiful woman. See, Satan always looks good. Now, if she'd been as ugly as homemade soap, and then, you know, that's pretty ugly. Probably Samson wouldn't give old Delilah a second look. But she was... I just got to say this. She had a wicked body. She had one that he had fell in love with, the beauty of her. The Bible said, the love of a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman will bring you to naught. And that's exactly what happened. She became a snare, caught in the trap, and then Samson knew that he'd been had by that pretty little Delilah because he got his hair cut in her barbershop. When the Bible said, don't cut your hair. Gave away his secret. The Bible said, do not reveal the secrets of manifestation of that which is imparted to you by the angels. Do not even reveal that to her that lieth upon your breast. Now that's pretty tough. I have things that has been revealed to me that I've never told nobody. I can't. And stay honest to my instructions. I know a few things that I dare not speak now for the sake of somebody might know me. And just like in a sexual relationship, to be known is to be had. And Satan likes to know you. He'll screw you over 99 ways to one. Be slow to speak. Keep the secrets of your heart. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand's going to do. Don't broadcast. You know, some people want to be known as a prophet and make themselves of a reputation. That's tempting. When you know some things that you could say, and it would sure prove that you are what is called a prophet. But even a prophet can err. Look at David. He was a prophet. Look how many times he erred. To err is divine. Or maybe it's not. But anyway, he erred and paid the price for his error. We all have to reap what we sow. Take heed how you sow it and what you sow. If something is imparted to you, just to you, so that it will give you a heads up and give you an advantage when people come before you, or you're dealing with people and they don't know you have the gift of discernment, because you don't go around with a trumpet blaring around, "Oh, I have the gift of discernment. I know what you're up to. I can see what you're into." If you blare it, you give away your cover. It's a divine blessing that Yahweh gave to you, that you might use it as a tool, not to further yourself or to further your gain, but to bless people and help them in their weakness when they oppose themselves or when they're trying to do you in. You see that? If you give away your secrets and the devil knows it, then you just like Samson, you gave away your life. You gave away your purpose. Yahweh assigns these angelic beings to watch over you. There is different ranks of angels. If you're assigned a high Elohim, man, you could count yourself very fortunate. Daniel had the assignment of Gabriel. There's not a higher angel that we know of in the Bible than Gabriel. I mean, he's the one that gets the word straight from Yahweh. He's what we call or describe as the messenger angel. And you got to have a message. You got to hear from heaven. Remember when Saul was cut off, that the prophet Samuel had died, and he desired a word? And since Samuel died, Saul complained that he didn't know what was going on. He wanted to know. And so he hired a witch, see, resorting to the dark angels. And he conjured up and disquieted the spirit of Samuel. And he said, "What's going on?" And Samuel gave him the word. He said, "Well, I just wish you hadn't asked. Sometimes they may be things laid up for us we don't even need to know about. Maybe the time of our death. I'm a firm believer you've got a time to be born and a time to die. I'm a firm believer that your steps are ordered and the angels are assigned to make sure those steps are carried out. Your life, if it's served in fulfillment and purpose, because you yourself have a free will just like an angel." Now, most of them are steadfast. Stephen revealed that in the 7th chapter of Acts, and I described that to you in part 1. Here tonight, I'm mainly dealing with you and your angels around you. Don't let an angry angel come into your life. It's easy. I mean, you can invite him in by anger. And anger rests in the bosom of a fool. Don't be quick to anger. Don't be quick to judge. You know, we get a certain sense of needling people sometimes. Or tormenting people. That's a tormenting spirit. You've succumbed to an angel of darkness when you do that. An angel of the flesh. And the angels that are spiritual evil appeal to the flesh. Well, you know he done you wrong. Why don't you just go over and smack his teeth down his throat? He said, well, yeah, that's right. He did me wrong. The nerve of that rascal. And you go over there and first thing you know, you've sinned. And you're weeping. You can't sleep. You feel sorry for what you've done. You see, then the devil says, oh, how we love to take Yahweh's servants and make them a piece of filthy rag like Samson. Look what he traded. He traded his power, the Nazarene vow, the strength, the wisdom, the integrity, the character. He throwed it all away for a pretty little woman that weighed 95 pounds. She didn't love him. Are you living with someone tonight that don't love you? Are you living with someone you don't love just for the sake of getting along or not being embarrassed by? You see, sometimes it's better to bring everything out in the open and dissolve it or to settle it. The Bible said, don't dwell with an unbeliever. You got some ragged nagger, clapper, tapper, get away from them. Separate yourself from them. It's not a sin to leave someone that you've been unequally yoked together with. And I'm not suggesting that you do that. But I'm in a sense, I'm telling you about these angels that we invite in could be in the personage of a Delilah. And you might have one in your bedroom. And she's slowly destroying you. Or she's taking your power. Maybe you felt led to preach the gospel or to be a witness. And her hang-up is the beauty shops and Wally World, and you spend all your time trying to appease her because she's pretty. Or you've been given over to a spirit of lust like Samson. He lusted for a strange woman, and it got him in trouble with that lusting angel that stood at his ear and said, God, you just got to have that. That could belong to you. You could impress her. You're strong. You're handsome. Look at your hair. Comb your hair and wash it real good and anoint yourself. Perfume up your bedroom and invite her out on a date. That was his fatal mistake. Don't make a fatal mistake. I got to close tonight and wrap up the series here tonight of The Functioning of Angels, Part 3. You got this series available to you if you'd like to have it. Just write me. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now again, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, with the zip being 37824. If you'd like to call me tonight, I'm live around the world on the transmitting Jewel of the South. I'm also being simulcast on internet, fiber optic, state of the art, right here on WWRB. None better. It's a Jewel of the South. I invite you to tune us in Friday night. I'll be back Friday night with a new message at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Central. Try to join us. we'll talk about something of interest. Did you know that we're on 100 days into the Gulf? Catastrophe. It is awful. Oil is disappearing. They don't know where it's gone. It's evident. With the dispersant that they're spraying, they have layered this right on the ocean floor of the flora. It's crept into the marshes. It's disappeared. Now a few tar balls are still washing up here and there. They've hardened. The people are so desperate. The government has created this debacle, and then they've hired, because they got plenty of money, to hire, put you out of business and hire you as a temporary servant. What are you going to do when all this is over and the oil cleanup is not going to be cleaned up for 150 years? Your experts are telling you that. And so we're in a bad situation. Well, I got to get out of here. Sponsored tonight by Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. Brother Paul, my good buddy up in Michigan for STEM Tech, 1-800-253-2748. Write me tonight. I need to hear from you. Tuck me in a love offering if you would desire that we can continue our radio broadcast. We love you, and I'll see you Friday night. Many blessings to you. Yahweh bless.
Can you see that number no man can number? Right alongside Jesus. But he's calling out to us right now, saying, will you ride with me? And we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord. Yes.